Praise the Lord. What a treat not to have to fly somewhere, to get in the car and go right down the street and come be with you. And just as Pastor Gary said, it's weird how we know each other so well, even though it was a while before we got to talk to each other. It's just when you know someone that well, you're on the same page. We're word people. And we're so excited that you're redeemed from the curse of the law tonight. You know, you're blessed. You're not trying to get blessed. You are blessed. You're not talking God into doing something good for you because He already has. Hallelujah. What a massive inheritance we have in Christ Jesus, that we can be free everywhere we go. And not only that, you get to be a walking representation of what Jesus is really like. Wow, you are the billboard of the resurrection. How cool is that? So we get some wonderful things to do before Jesus comes. Now, we have a lot of stuff to get into. I mean, tons of stuff to get into. So I'll endeavor not to go too fast. But man, there's so much happening right now. And I'll just give you a couple seconds of background. We travel all over the world. And I'd have to go preach on end times in the Bible schools overseas because they couldn't get Hilton Sutton or Billy Brim, so they'd send Uncle Joe. So you had to learn it, and the Lord told me to preach it years ago, and I would do that, but without a lot of fanfare, and go, Lord, why you have me do this? Well, the closer you get to the coming of the Lord, you see why. There's destiny on the church getting a kick and a push right before He comes back. And we're going to get into some verses to show us how close we are, that we're in that season before He comes. And you're going to leave the building tonight with some inarguable facts to show you where you are in time. Amen. And what does that do? That propels us to do the will of God. I heard a lot of people go, well, I don't want the Lord to come because I feel like I have so many things I'm supposed to do. You're not done after the rapture. Come on, it's not like it's over. That's a beginning. Praise the Lord. Because most word people go, hey, I don't want the Lord to come so soon because I have so much in my heart. You have so much in your heart because you're going to keep doing it after the rapture. All right. Hallelujah. I see some friends over there. God bless you guys from all coming. Good to see you. Yay. And here, let me introduce Jason and Elizabeth. These guys work so hard. Wave your hands, Jason and Elizabeth. Give them a great hand. Jason got out of prison last night. No, I'm just kidding. No. Jason and Elizabeth work in the church that we attend in Murrieta. Jason runs all the lights, all the sound, all the camera stuff. And we do a video thing every week on our website, which I can't believe 45 nations still. I wasn't going to do it. And anyway, he's the genius that does all that. And Elizabeth works for us. She's worked for us for a long time. What a blessing she is. And so I'm sure glad you guys could come down too. And I'm glad you didn't get arrested on the way down. Praise the Lord. Amen. You made it all the way. Hallelujah. It was close, but you did make it. And this is my lovely wife, Colleen. Stand up. We're so blessed that we, like Gary said, Pastor Gary said, it seems like everywhere we go preach is Florida, Boston, Georgia, Virginia. Well, that's wonderful, but we live in California. So it's wonderful to be here getting to preach in California. So thank you. We're blessed to live in this state. Amen. So I'm so blessed that Colleen's with me. She normally travels with me everywhere, and she runs our office, and she preaches and sings and does a little bit of everything. So she's not messing around. She doesn't mess around. So, you know, I have a tendency to go way too fast, and I'm going to supernaturally slow down so we get all of this because there's so much that's so good. I love how you said it, Pastor Gary. There is no bad news for the church. You know, a lot of people preach end times, and you leave going, oh, God, let's run for the hills. No, if you hear end time preaching, it scares you. It's not Bible.
Right.
There is nothing bad for the church.
Good.
Now, if you're not in the church, it's not good. it's just not. So we're blessed. And once we get through this, we're going to see, if you'll please come back tomorrow morning and come back tomorrow night, we'll get into things to show us how blessed we are in this church age. The dispensation that we're in right now, we're so, so, so blessed. Because even during the millennium, He's going to treat people differently during that natural 1,000 years. So we're just blessed to be in the church of our King. And think about, we just celebrated Christmas. He came on the scene in no fanfare whatsoever, born in a manger. I mean, you talk about low key, you talk about under the radar, but this time He's coming back in glory. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what a wonderful season that we have right before Jesus comes back. And I say that boldly because we'll get into some things that show us how close we are. Now, why would we want to see that? Because Jesus rebuked him. He said, hey, you can tell what the weather's going to be, but you don't know your hour, your visitation. So He wants us to know what time it is. We're going to look at some things that we'll be able to tell where we are in time on God's clock. God's so precise about everything. It's not just like He said, okay, one day He'll come back. No, they're called moed, set times. When the fullness of time had come, Jesus came forth the first time. And we'll look at some scriptures to show us that he's very, very organized. He comes to us as the rain, the former and the latter rain. And he just like the sun coming up, it's like a clock. He's very strict and very ordered. So isn't that wonderful that the God that watches over his word in your life is very precise? I like it. He's alert and active, watching over that word to perform it. I love your building. You know, just pulling in, I like that you're right here by the freeway. I know that this is a beginning, or however long you've been here, I believe you're going to have to kick walls out. I believe you'll have to just get ready and you get a helicopter pad and have them come land on the roof. And Pastor Gary will come down the bat pole in the back. He'll sling down and just come right in and preach, all right? Amen, amen. Grab your Bibles, if you would. And why don't you turn? We'll start. I want to give you just a little bit of verses before we get into the signs of the second coming. We're going to get into a couple of keys tonight that'll make it super easy and it'll make it super precise. So there's no guesswork. There's no, well, I don't know what's happening. We can know exactly what's going on. So let's pray and we'll get right into the word. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful to see the gospel going all over the world. Grateful to see nation after nation receive the message of our King. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful that we're saved. We're so grateful for what you did for us 2,000 years ago. We endeavor, all of us, to walk in the full measure of what you provided for us. What a massive inheritance you left us. To literally have the presence of God, to be carriers of the glory of God. We thank you for this hour, Father. We thank you for this church. We thank you for Spectrum Church, Pastor Gary and Pastor Kimberly. We thank you for the destiny upon their lives. What you've given them to do, Lord, in the last days. I thank you for increasing their voice. I thank you for amplifying their voice in this region. I thank you for the grace upon their lives. The entire congregation, Father. I thank you that 2012 will be a marked year of supernatural increase. Heightened awareness of how wonderful Jesus is. That he would be first and foremost in all of our lives. He would have the preeminence, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for it, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, everybody said amen. You know, as we go overseas quite a bit, this last year we were in Germany, Italy, and France. First time ever to see radical fruit. After 20 years of going there, you know, people are just kind of sitting there while you're preaching, kind of cleaning their nails or whatever, kind of, yeah, whatever. They'll see what you got. Now they're just on the edge of their seat, and so you see great change. Just remarkable. And with that, now I'm saying this because every one of the nations that you go to, it's crazy Americans that are there. I mean, some wild American has plowed their way into going there and preaching. In Iran, I have a buddy of mine that preaches in Iran. He's on TV. We play golf with him. I like to play golf with him. His name is Reza Safi. He's about this tall, so it makes me feel normal height. I'll go, Reza, come stand by me, buddy. And I'm on their Iranian TV preaching on the name of Jesus. And, you know, after you're done, the interpreter's like, they're going to kill me. Because they've tried to kill him so many times, threatened to kill him. They've done all these plots to kill him. But on the map, while I'm preaching on the Iranian TV, there's the country. There's flags all over the country. And I thought, now, what's all the flags? I thought it may be a satellite set up. He goes, no, those are all Holy Ghost, Word of Faith churches. With like Kenneth Hagin's books translated into Farsi all over the nation. Wow. So we'll get into some stuff about Iran as we go, but what's preached about Iran is all the bad things that are happening. But my friend, the message is getting all over the world right now. He said Jesus is appearing to daughters and sons in the home. The little boy will come out and go, Jesus just appeared to me, and I accepted him as my Savior. Then the daughter comes out and goes, Jesus just appeared to me, and all of a sudden you're having revival where preachers can't even get there quick enough because the Lord's doing things so supernaturally. So it's a wonderful time. It is a wonderful, wonderful time. So we're going to get into some things tonight to show us how close we are. So go to 2 Peter, if you would. Grab your Bibles there and turn to 2 Peter. Let's start with chapter 3, and we'll get into a lot of cool stuff tonight. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 1. We'll run through these for a moment. This second epistle, beloved, I like that he calls us his beloved. When you look in the epistles, you see who you really are. You're not trying to earn his favor. You're his beloveds. Now, I say that. That's a huge deal. When we get to the Gospels, you're going to feel an end time feeling to where you still think you need to earn something. Because in the Gospels, he's talking to Jewish boys that aren't saved yet. And I'm going to hammer that some more later because that's huge. Because that'll help us understand end time preaching. So go here to the first verse again in 2 Peter chapter 3. It's page 295 if you've got a Bible like mine. Praise the Lord. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you'd be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles, Lord and Savior. Knowing this verse, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Wow. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now here he tells you a little bit of the climate. He said in the last days, this is what the climate would be. People would be saying, hey, where is the promise of his coming? Now he says they're walking after their flesh, but you hear that in the church. I grew up in the church, and this is what I heard in the church. People almost got bored with hearing that Jesus was coming. I've been hearing that all my life. Well, he says they forgot about something that happened. They forgot about some change that came. The flood came whether anybody was ready for it or not. So change happened when no one believed in it. So here he said, right before the coming of the Lord, that will be the climate. Yeah, I don't think he's ever coming. It's kind of sad that Hollywood believes there's a change coming more than the church does. Every movie you go to believes the world's coming to an end. Man, they feel that, so they promote that, but the world's not coming to an end. Jesus is going to come back and save the world.
Right.
Amen. So let's watch and see how he says here. I like that you even said it, the last days. I mean, if the last days was when the Spirit was poured out in Acts 2, we got to be living in the last of the last days. The Bible says that when the Holy Ghost was poured out, that was the last days. When Jesus came, that was the last days. But he gives us a little bit of a clue here before we get into the signs. Skip down a little bit, and he tells us something that helps us in verse 8. He says, but beloved, notice he keeps calling us his beloved. Beloved, in verse 8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So you can get something about the timing of God. Now hang with me a minute. You got 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. 2,000 years from Abraham to the first coming of the Lord. 2,000 years from the first coming to the second coming. You got about 6 days. Now what's that sound like? A week. So the seventh day would be the millennial reign of Christ. And we have that pattern called our Sunday. We know it's a day of rest. The earth is going to come into 1,000 years of rest. So we're very close to that. That's called the millennial reign of Christ. Now we'll go through things chronologically here a little bit later, but I want to get somewhere. So we know a little bit about the timing. Now why is that a big deal? God always had a timepiece on the earth. Remember Enoch? How many remember Enoch? You know, it's pretty cool. He was a type of the church because he was raptured. He walked with God and was not. I mean, that must have been kind of radical. You're walking with somebody, they're gone. Well, the Bible says he had a kid. Remember, it says he started walking with God after he had that child. Named the child Methuselah. Methuselah means his death brings judgment. How'd you like to have a name that goes, hey, when I die, you all die. When I'm toast, you're toast. Well, I would have been checking on Methuselah. I would have been making sure he had groceries. You know, as he's getting older, I'd go, how's your coverage, buddy? You doing okay, Methuselah? How you feeling, you know? Because his name meant, when I die, you all die. Well, he was the longest living man ever. Guess what happened the year Methuselah died? The flood came. That change came, whether they were ready for it or not. In fact, Noah preached and preached and preached, and they mocked him. You know, you'd think when the animals start showing up, they'd go, something's up. I mean, I would have gone like, whoa, this is bizarre. You got giraffes, you got elephants, you got all these things showing up, but they still didn't even move them until they saw the rain. So let's go a little further, and then we'll get to some signs. Skip down to verse, it's all so good, but I want to keep moving because I want you to come back tomorrow. I like what John Osteen says, he who preaches short shall be heard again. Hallelujah, amen. So go here, how many are so glad you came tonight? Come on. Amen. How many are glad you're here, you're not in jail? All right, that should get just about everybody, all right. Okay, all right, we're in church. All right, skip over to verse 17. He gives us a little bit of a warning, and we'll pick this up in verse 17. He says, you therefore, beloved, calls us his beloved again. Notice God's not mad at anybody right now. It's amazing that Oral Roberts got in trouble in the 50s for saying God's a good God. Now, you know what? The world didn't get mad at him. The church got mad at him. See, right now, in this dispensation, God's not mad at anybody. He's not grading you. Man, that's a wonderful thing to hear about the grace of God. Well, you could shout a little bit on that, but let's keep moving. Verse 17. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, he says, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He said the error of the wicked. Now, what is the error of the wicked? Oh, he's never coming back. He calls that error of the wicked. What happens? It would keep you from your own steadfastness. Now, why is that a huge deal? Right before the coming of the Lord, he wants you in position. He wants you doing what you're supposed to do, rather than right for the coming Lord. Yeah, whatever. No, being white hot fervent to do the will of God. This is why we're into end times tonight, because I'm going to show you how close you are and what it does to us. It pushes us to do the will of God. Now hang with me. Our daughter Lauren, she's just got married. She's 24. She used to run cross country. And she, you know, did volleyball and baseball, and I tried to go to all the games and all that stuff. But in the cross country, I would need a motorcycle to keep up with her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she'd run like 3 miles. So I would go to different points, and she's been training and training and training and training and training for these races. I'd go to the first point, and she'd be running. She'd run along. You know, it's about a 3 mile race. And she'd look at me, she'd go, "How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy?" I'd go, "Lauren, you got another 2 miles." So she's pacing herself. She's running a little bit more. I cut across the deal, you know, kind of cheat a little bit. No, instead of running with her, I go to the other deal. And she gets up to that mark. She goes, "How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy?" I go, "Lauren, you got 1.5 miles. I'm telling her how far she has to pace herself. Well, I cut to the other place, come around that last corner, and she doesn't even yell at me. She can see the finish line. Doesn't say a word. I mean, she doesn't even look at me because she can see how close she is to the finish. She gets that kick and starts running. I mean, I'm screaming, "Run, run, go, Lauren," because I can see people that are trying to catch up with her. "Run, run, run, run." Now see, we're going to see some things before we leave tonight to show you exactly how close you are. And what it does to us is, I haven't been in the Word all my life to come to the very end and be casual about the will of God. Could you imagine practicing running every day and get to the race and there's the finish line? "Nah, I don't feel like doing this." Train, 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 train. Get to the end. And that's the way a lot of the church is. Kind of folding their arms when we are living where the finish line is right there. Amen. Thank you. Exactly. It's right there. And I know sometimes I'm going to say a couple of things that are maybe radically bold about the coming of the Lord. Because once you get into it, it's really plain. And because a lot of times on TV, don't get mad at me, a lot of preachers go, "Well, of that day and that hour, no man knows." He's talking to Jewish boys about the second coming. Because to the church, he said, "You are not in darkness that day would overtake you." I'll say it again. Talking to Jewish boys about the second coming, he said, "On that day and that hour, no man knows." Because they weren't supposed to know. That was 2,000 years before he's going to come. But to the church, he said, "You are not in darkness that day would overtake you as a thief." And once we get through all the signs here, we're going to go, "Holy smokes, we're very, very close." But the thing about end time preaching, it makes you run to the finish, and it's the best witness you have, because no other religion can tell you what's going to happen before it happens. God said, "I'm God. I'll show you what's going to happen before it happens," and it's the best witnessing tool you have. No other religion can tell you the future. A third of this book is about the future. God says, "I'm God. I'll show you what's going to happen before it happens." Ezekiel prophesied the year Israel will be made a nation. Gabriel appeared to Daniel, told him the year Jesus would come into Jerusalem. Well, they weren't paying attention. They could have been going, 3, 2, 1, here he comes. But they weren't. You know, I mean, wouldn't that have been cool? No, they weren't doing that because they weren't reading the book. And we'll get into that tomorrow night. Once you get into it, he tells them the year he would come the first time. Now, I'm not going to tell you the year Jesus is coming, but I'm going to show you the season. And I'm going to show you all the signs. And the signs that we get into, what are signs for? When you're getting ready to exit, when I was looking for Bonita, the road, I knew that it was 2 miles away. I start preparing and thinking, in 2 miles, I got to get off the freeway. We're going to look at some signs to show us how close we are to exiting. So you think differently. You don't think, "No, I'm not doing that." No, you think, "Okay, let's get all the will of God we can get done because we're about to exit." I mean, if you see something you want to eat, you start thinking, "Hey, 4 miles, I'm going to get a burger. Am I in the right room? Come on now." Go back up. Oh, that's right. I said, "No, hey, burgers, no, that's the devil." No, no. "I hate burgers." No. "Oh, I forgot you're doing your fast." That's right. No, 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 no. Lettuce. Lettuce, 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 lettuce. That's so cool you're doing that fast. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. Praise the Lord. Start the car. I'll be right there. Here we go. Go back to Isaiah for a second, and let's look at this for a second before we get into these signs. Because the signs kind of just really, they're so precise, it almost messes with you how precise it is. It's almost like, could it actually be that plain and that blatant? Look at Isaiah 46 real quick. I want to show you something about how precise God is. Look at Isaiah 46. Look at verse 9. He said, "Remember the former things of old. I'm God. There's none else." This is Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. You don't really hear the Lord talk about himself like this. Watch. He says, "I'm God, there's none else, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Now, we'll get into some statistics later, but listen to the first 10 names of people in the Bible. This is just wild. Once you get through this, God's so cool. We're so blessed to have such a cool dad. Listen to the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death brings. We talked about that a while ago. Lamech means despairing. And Noah means rest. Listen to the first 10 names of folks in the Bible. Man is appointed mortal with sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching. His death brings the despairing rest. He gives you the plan of redemption with the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. He said, I'll show you the end from the beginning. Now, once we get into all this stuff, you go, wow, there's a God involved. Is there someone from another place talking to us about things that we haven't even seen yet, but they're extremely precise. Things that you can tell sinners. I love it. I was playing golf. Where was I? The other day playing golf with this guy. He was in Germany. He goes, well, I used to be a Christian, but I'm not anymore. And I went through the statistics with him, and he was like, oh, my God. Because, see, God showed us stuff before it happened. Paul talked about the baptism 17 times, which I'm Pentecostal. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Love the power of God. I usually preach on miracles or end times. He talked about the baptism 17 times, the coming of the Lord 52 times. It's the theme of the book. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. And wouldn't it be cool that we would be so ready? My mom, I used to do this out of fear. My mom every night, hey, he's coming tonight. Well, you know what? Growing up, you know, my mom got a hold of the word in like 1970. Every night, I'd go to bed thinking, oh my God, he's coming tonight. But it made me go to bed like this, Lord, I love you. You know, it changes that haughtiness. You know, that haughtiness, say, I don't believe he's coming back. You think he's coming back tomorrow? You go to bed tonight. You're the one. You know, if you know what I'm saying? It changes you. Your viewpoint goes from, I'll do whatever I want to do, to, Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. And you know, it really doesn't damage us either. I'm in the ministry because of that. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever you don't, amen. It's a surrender that comes into our hearts to do what he wants us to do. Amen. You know, there's something about that callousness of spiritual pride to go, I'll do just what I want to do. No, Lord, what do you want us to do? Let's change people's lives. Let's help people. How can we change our city? How can we change our region? How can we bless people? Let's do something eternal. Eternal that'll last forever. Because your next appointment is the reward seat of Christ. And he wants to reward you for what you're doing right now. Amen. So grab your Bibles there and run over to Luke. Now we're going to run through these signs here for a little bit, and then it'll show us right where we are in time. Look at Luke 21. Now, the signs I'm going to go through, there's probably about 25 of them. I won't go through all of them, but they're exact, they're precise. There's no, like, I can't believe this is really what this is saying. I mean, it's exact. So once we go into it, keep an open mind for a minute, because it's so exact that it almost shocks you. So go to Luke 21, and we'll start with verse 24. Luke 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, that's a lot said in that one little verse. It almost sounds like blah, 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 blah. Basically, Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem won back by the Jews, some time is up. Now, let's talk about a couple of things here before we get into the signs. We know we're looking at signs of the second coming right here. All of the Gospels are about Jesus physically coming back to the earth. Okay, the rapture of the church is talked about in the epistles because the rapture was a mystery. So the second coming, he bodily comes back to the earth. But 7 years before that, we're going up. I mean, we're all Christians. We know that. We're going to be raptured. It's going to be pretty cool. I can't wait to get a glorified body. I'm the right weight. I'm just not the right height. So I have grown this way, but not this way. So I can't wait to get that ratio working out correctly. And so I'm going to get a glorified body. And Pastor Gary and I are going to play golf during the millennium. We're going to play golf at St. Andrews. Then we're going to be translated to Augusta and play golf. Then we're going to be translated to Pebble Beach and play golf. And we're going to circumvent the planet, hitting a little white ball. And I know people almost think, could that really be like that? You know, you don't lose your personality when you get raptured. When you get raptured, you're not going to walk around heaven like a robot. I am so glad to be here, God. I have made it. If you like to play music, you'll love music. Your personality will get enhanced, not hindered. You don't lose anything. You gain everything. Never to get tired again. Hello? Walk through walls. I mean, I can't wait to scare my buddies. You know, just all of a sudden show up. Peace, be still. And that would be so cool to be able to do that. You know, obviously we would abuse that too much. So, the Lord probably will have something about that, but there's only great things ahead. So let's look at this one verse here. So there's a difference. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be raptured. We'll get into that tomorrow. But tonight we're talking about the second coming of Christ, because we're going to come back with Him on white horses. Amen. Yeah, I mean, I've ridden horses when I was a kid, but I've never flown on a horse. So it's going to be pretty wild. I mean, you're going to go from the planet heaven to earth airborne on a horse. Giddy up, amen? It's going to be pretty... I mean, just the whole thought of that is a little bit like you can't even wrap your brain around that. But there's a difference. The second coming, Jesus bodily comes back to the earth. At the rapture, we go up to meet Him in the air. Two different events. Two different events. And I'll get into a lot of that stuff tomorrow, but two separate events. And the rapture 7 years before. And I'll get into some things tomorrow that are precise about how you can't be here during the tribulation. It'll bless you. It'll bless you. That you have to have a pre-tribulation rapture. And it gets quiet when you say that, but that's true. So now why do I don't think I know what I'm doing. I preach this in Germany so much, and the Germans go, "You said so-and-so." The Bible says so-and-so. I'll give you scripture and verse to back everything up. Because I'm not bright enough to come up with this on my own. I've got to have Bible. I've got to have it is written. Okay? So let's go here and look where we were there. Luke 21, verse whatever that was, 24. They'll fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. Jerusalem will be trodden down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's so huge that Jesus said, remember in 70 AD, Jerusalem was overthrown. And He said, okay, they were scattered throughout all the nations. And He began to gather them back in 1948. And 1967, Jerusalem was won back. He said, when you see that, some time is up. So I want to go through these for just a moment. I said a lot right there. Skip down to verse 29. Because that's so amazing, He helps us in verse 29. Look at verse 29. He spake to them a parable. Now, what's a parable for? To make what He had just said make more sense. That's what parables are for, to help you understand the gravity of what He just said. So He says in verse 29, look at the fig tree. The fig tree is the nation of Israel. And all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer or harvest is nigh at hand. Likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Wow. Now, He said, look at Israel. That'd be your timepiece. Now, I'm in the church. I would have said, man, when you see the power of God flowing in the church, you can tell the coming of the Lord's here. No, He took a nation. He said, basically, it's a miracle that a nation would be scattered all over the earth and regathered. To the point that Hitler killed 6 million Jews right before they were made a nation. Satan wanted to stop God's word from coming to pass. So right before the fig tree buds in 48, they're almost annihilated. But hang with me. The fig tree buds in 48, and Jesus said, when you see these things, you can know something. Not wonder, not sense, you can know. What does knowing bring? Boldness. Now, I remember Brother Hagin talking about a spirit of seeing and a spirit of knowing. Where'd that come from? That verse right there. So that you could see and know. Now hang with me. This is why I get radical about this. When the springtime comes, especially if you're in the Midwest or whatever, right now the grass is dormant, the trees are dormant, and all of a sudden spring starts coming and you see some buds on the trees. Wow, the spring's coming. Somebody doesn't go, no, it's not. Yeah, the trees are budding. No, it's not. It's not doing that either. It would be, Jesus compared these signs to be so idiot-proof that you can't miss it. Just like if you walked out and it's about to be summer, you go, no, it's not summer. No, it's not. Sorry, there's a season change, the temperature's changing, whether you're ready for it or not. In other words, like, okay, so me not knowing that is going to make that change? No, the spring's coming whether we like it or not. So let's go a little further, and I want to get into it here, so run with me a little bit. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this is the big one, you ready? Verily I say unto you, this generation will not pass away till all is fulfilled. Now, that's pretty radical. He said the generation that sees those two will not pass away till all is fulfilled. I'm going to give you 25 real fast. That only our generations had. The fig tree bud in 48, 1967, Jerusalem was won back. That's the ticker right there. The whole war of the ages, Battle of Armageddon, will be over the boundaries for Jerusalem. This last week, even Abbas, the Palestinian, he goes, we want the six-day war borders from 1967. Now, what was the big deal about, hang with me for a couple of seconds of a history lesson, then we're going to keep moving into the signs. 1967, when Jerusalem was won back, it was so huge, called the Six-Day War. Remember, we had 6 days of human history. In the Six-Day War, I even saw the video 2 nights ago. I preached this 25 years ago, and I watched them interview the guys I've been preaching at about for 25 years. All of a sudden, the Egyptian army's coming right down on one Israeli guy in a tank. You got 80-some-odd tanks going against one Israeli, and he's sitting there shelling those Egyptians. You got 80-something tanks against one Israeli guy. Okay, watch this. The guy, the Egyptian guy, the commander, climbs out of the tank with a white flag, walks down to the one Israeli guy and goes, I'm here to surrender. And according to the Geneva Convention, I get to go to the highest ranking officer. And he turns around and goes, ranking officer? It's just me. Ain't no ranking officer to this. He goes, no, it's not just you. The whole countryside all night was filled with tanks shelling us all night to where we give up. And there was one Israeli tank there, and they're seeing and hearing and feeling shells coming from thousands of tanks. And then they said, what's the secret weapon with the bright things in white on the front of your tanks? They were seeing angels. This guy goes, I don't believe in God, but I believe in him now. These are secular guys. They interviewed the guy that came out of the tank that these guys surrendered to. It's pretty cool. You got miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. What? During the Six-Day War, when Jerusalem was won back. One of the ones, the Syrian army was coming down against a few Israeli guys, and they ran out of bullets, and they looked at each other and said, there's nothing we can do. The army's coming toward us. They said, how many shells you got? He goes, I got three. I got four. And he goes, well, there's nothing we can do. We can't get out of this because a whole regiment's coming over to get us. And all of a sudden, that regiment from Jordan stopped right there. And they looked up and they said, Father Abraham, I believe it was Jesus. But then they interviewed one of the guys. This is another guy that was not saved. He said, man, it wasn't Abraham that scared us. It was the huge men dressed in white with the flaming swords that scared us. I mean, these are actual guys that were there in the Six-Day War. What happened in the Six-Day War? Jerusalem was won back. And Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem won back, that's going to be your time slot there. And then when he said, you see these things come to pass, know that I'm coming in that generation. So whether we're comfortable with it or not, we're that generation. I'm going to give you a bunch more, so hang with me. Because I've heard people go, well, you can't say that. Well, let's finish and you'll see what you say after we're done. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. That goes over real good. Woo! All right. Okay, so there's two. Those are huge. Israel made a nation. No other nation has been scattered like that and regathered, ever. Ever. I mean, why did God do it so cool that it's such a miracle that... You know, we had miracles Wednesday night. I had a word of knowledge about Elizabeth. I didn't even know. I wasn't preaching that night. The pastor called me up. We're laying hands on people. The Lord told me she had damage in her tailbone. And I said, hey, Elizabeth, the Lord just told me you have damage in your tailbone. And you had pain while you stand on the stage. Got healed right there. Several other people got healed right there in the meeting. Isn't that right? But see, you don't know about it here. Israel made a nation. The whole world watches a nation that was scattered that you don't even have to preach it. It just preaches for itself. That they come off the plane. They go, I don't even know why I'm here. There's something on the inside of them that says, I got to go back to my homeland. God's so cool. Now watch this. He had to regather them so he can date them for 7 years. He's going to court Israel and get Israel to accept Jesus as their Messiah. Amen. Colleen and I, we were dating. Colleen was living in California. I was living in Tulsa. And I was like, man, this don't work. This long distance. I learned how to text that way. I mean, I was like, you talk about learning how to text, man. Woo, here we go. I was supernaturally texting while we're dating. And I mean, I could text when I'm back, I could text while I was dancing, whatever, you know. Because, you know, you want to date your girl. Well, I said, babe, you need to move to Tulsa. Because it's a whole lot more fun to be around her. So Israel got regathered for a period, what we call the tribulation period, so God can show off for her and show him how much he loves her, and then they'll accept Jesus as their Messiah. See, I've already accepted him. I don't need to be here then, see? We'll get into some more things that prove that. But, all right, let's go through a lot of them real quick. Just say, everybody hang with me real quick. So, number one, Israel made a nation. Number two, Jerusalem won back. Those are huge. Because, see, Jack Van Impe didn't say this. Zola Levitt didn't say this. Perry Stone didn't say this. I've done meetings with Perry Stone. Perry didn't even say this. Jesus said this. Jesus said the generation. It sees Israel made a nation and Jerusalem won back. You're in that group. Now, what do you say? Israel will be your timepiece. How many of you wear a watch? Why do you wear a watch? So you'll know what time it is, so you'll be where you're supposed to be and not miss a what? An appointment. Okay? So Israel is your timepiece. Number one, Israel made a nation. Number two, Jerusalem won back. All right, the next one would be the Hebrew language restored. Okay, 120 years ago, no one spoke Hebrew in Israel. One man said, you know what, we ought to speak Hebrew. Now everybody speaks perfect Hebrew there because one guy said we ought to do it. The Bible says in Zephaniah, right before the Messiah comes back, I'll restore unto them a pure language. All right, I was over in Israel. And of all things, me and a few other people were getting ready to meet with the Prime Minister of Israel. Back then it was Ariel Sharon. I'm thinking, man, I'm from a small town in Louisiana, and all of a sudden I'm going to meet with the Prime Minister of Israel. I'm freaking out. So I'm sitting there in the room. You see it on TV, leather chairs, you know, the black and white pictures. So I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to meet with the Prime Minister. I ought to get a pencil or something, or souvenir, because I want some Hebrew writing on it, you know. You know, I want something cool to come. I was in that room. I see on TV. I went over and grabbed the pencil, and it was like made in Iowa. I was like, this isn't cool. It had American writing on English, you know. And so I'm sitting in that room waiting for those guys to come down, and you can hear them coming down the hall. I can't do it, but they're talking perfect Hebrew. All these kids in the afternoons that we support, they leave school and they go to these after-school places. They get a computer lesson. They get an economics lesson, of course. And they get a Hebrew lesson. Because God said, right before the Messiah comes, I'll restore to them a pure language. Look it up. Google it. No other nation ever in history has lost their language and had it restored. Ever. Good. Happened in your lifetime. Yeah. Pretty radical. So Israel made a nation. Jerusalem back. Next one, Hebrew language restored. Huge. 100 years ago, none of them spoke Hebrew. Now, they all do in your lifetime. All right, the next one would be the Ethiopian Jews brought back. Isaiah said, you know what? Right before the Messiah comes, I'm going to bring them back. Guess what? In our lifetime, I'm so glad I got to see it on TV. Chuck Roberts on Headline News, he said, listen to this, an exodus that eclipses the book of Exodus. 18,000 Ethiopian Jews are airlifted in one day. And an American guy, known for being a rank sinner, a Mundry launder, decided to do something good. And he paid 30-some-odd million dollars to send those C-130s down into Ethiopia. Those Ethiopian Jews got on those C-130s, and they were airlifted back. And a newscaster said an exodus that eclipses the book of Exodus. You remember the book of Exodus one's pretty cool. Remember Charlton Heston? Dun, 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 dun. Stand still and see the salvation of our God. The walls were, the water was congealed. And he said this eclipsed that. This eclipsed that. Why? Because the Bible says right before the Messiah comes back, I'll bring the Ethiopians back. Did it in your lifetime. 1992. All right, the next one would be the revival of the Roman Empire. Now, why is this a big deal? Because these are all for our generation. I'll give you the odds after I'm done. It'll freak you out. Revival of the Roman Empire. Okay, remember, the Bible says in Daniel, the Antichrist will come on the heels of the revived Rome. What is that? The United States of Europe. Europe came together, and in 1957, they said, we felt like Romans on that day when it was recreated. You can go to Brussels, which I have, the seat of the EU. And in front of the building is they have a computer in there called the Beast. That's a little bizarre. I mean, it's just, of all things, to name your computer the Beast. And the markings on the whole building are all about Babylon, about Nebuchadnezzar. See, that's what comes to the forefront right before the coming of the Lord. And that's why America was in Iraq twice. I'll give you some more of that stuff tomorrow. I'll freak you out. I mean, you'll just go, that's not possible. But in front of that building in Brussels is a big old molecule. You know how they like to have art in front of buildings? It's a big molecule of iron blown up because the last nations, he said, would be iron and clay right before the coming of the Lord. So you have revived Rome. The other day I went from Germany into France, and I wanted that stamp on my passport. It's so cool. It says a Côte d'Azur in Nice. And I thought, now I want that on my passport. Don't even have your passport stamped anymore. It's the United States of Europe. You can go from Italy to Germany to France. It's just the deal. I mean, it's Rome revived. Now, why is that a huge deal? Because you watch, man, there's so many thousand things I want to get into. The world is set up for the Antichrist to come on the scene and go, I'm going to bail you. Last week, Hungary had troubles. A couple weeks before that, Greece was having trouble. A couple weeks before that, Germany said, we don't have the money. The EU doesn't have the money to bail them out. The world is set up for a leader to come on the scene and go, I have the answer for the Palestinians and the Jews, and I have an answer for the monetary system. The Pope, a month ago, I said this on one of my EDU broadcasts, the Pope said that week, this is a month ago, there should be one monetary system for the whole world and one authority for the whole world and one religion for the whole world. That's what the Antichrist will do. Now, why is this huge? Like Pastor Gary said, right now things are happening in Iran. Why is 2012 a big year? Well, I don't have time to preach on all that, but the Prime Minister of Iran, I call him a Jinnah nut, but we know it's a Jinnah dot, whatever his name is. He's publicly said, you know, I want to annihilate Israel. And our UN says Israel should be wiped off the map and said Israel should be moved back to Europe. Hello, Israel's never been in Europe. Anyway, he believes that if he starts a war with Israel, it will bring in their Messiah, the 12th Imam. In other words, he thinks if he starts a war, their Messiah comes. But really what their Messiah is the Antichrist. He kills the Christians and the Jews and he reigns for 7 years. So that guy in Iran, every week, that's why all the nuclear stuff keeps happening, they think they're going to annihilate Israel, and that will bring in their Messiah. And you're living with all this being played out right in front of your eyes. I'm in Italy thinking, okay, because I tell Colleen, I go, babe, watch the ticker on the news. Israel will be on the news every day. In Italy, in Italian TV, I can't speak Italian, but I could see right here, West Bank, Gaza, Palestine, on the ticker, even in Italy, it's all about that little piece of real estate the size of New Jersey. So the whole world is focused on that. All right, let's run back through some more here because I want to keep moving for just a minute before we close. You got Israel made a nation. You got Jerusalem won back. Hebrew language restored. Ethiopian Jews brought back. Revival of the Roman Empire. What would the next one be? The fertility of the land of Israel. 120 years ago, Mark Twain was in Israel. He said the land is so desolate it won't support life. It's just barren. And nothing will grow here. I mean, I've gone up on the Golan Heights. If you go up right at the very north of Israel, I thought they had a sprinkler system. That's my thinking is I thought, how do they sprinkler? How perfect the grass is here in Israel? Because you can see the demarcation between Israel and Syria. I mean, it's just there. I said, man, how do you guys do that? He goes, we're not doing anything. The dirt is so blessed because God said, I'll bring them back and I'll make that desert blossom. Israel produces 90% of all the fruit for Europe. Not 10%, not 5%, not 1%. 90% of the fruit for Europe comes from Israel. It's pretty wild. So God's done that. So what are those things for? They preach that God's word is true. This is what I'll do right before he comes. In in Psalms it talks about the right now, present day Palestinian-Israeli conflict. It was prophesied even that many years ago that that would be a burdensome stone. That's what you'd see right now, those nations coming together. All right, you got Israel made a nation. Jerusalem won back. Hebrew language restored. Can't remember the next one. Ethiopian Jews brought back. Roman Empire revived. The next one, the fertility of the land of Israel. That alone, when you go out to the cornfields and you see rose bushes planted in front of all the cornfields, I thought, why in the world would you decorate the cornfields with roses? They said, well, the insects will go to the roses before they'll go to the corn, so we don't have to use pesticides. They just know what they're doing. They know what they're doing to the point that you can go to Italy and buy Levi's 501s for $350. Because a Jewish man named Levi had some canvas come down to make some tents, and they had too much canvas, so he said, you know what we'll do? We'll make some jeans from it. So God, you talk about the blessing of God that is blatant and obvious. Almost every movie you see is made by a Jewish man. Every CT, every CAT scan, every MRI, Jewish guy. I mean, God so put some things in this generation so that if someone didn't get saved, he'd go, well, what about this, what about this? I tried everything I could to get you to see I'm God. His mercy endures forever. Isn't that something? So you have that one, the fertility of the land of Israel. The next one would be the Temple Mount Institute. You ever heard of the Temple Mount Institute? Right after we're raptured, what's going to happen is, and this is what the big deal is over the Temple Mount. Do we know what the Temple Mount is? The Temple Mount is where Solomon's temple was, right there in Jerusalem. And that's that little piece of real estate. Now listen, that Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years. And right now, there's a mosque on it that if you even get near it, it makes the Palestinians go crazy. Now this is pretty cool. Go up on the Temple Mount right now and there's flies everywhere. Because see, Beelzebub's the Lord of the flies. You go off the Temple Mount, no flies. I mean, that's nature. Even showing you what's going on. But the war is going to be over that little Temple Mount. So right after we're raptured, what's happening right now in the last 20 years is one man, Gershwin Solomon, said, you know what? I'm going to get everybody ready for temple worship. So right after we're raptured, they're going to rebuild the third temple and they're going to have sacrifices in there because the Bible says midway through the trib, the Antichrist goes into the temple. And right now they've gone through school. They have all the articles they need. They have all the clothing they need. Their last names are Cohen, means priest. They are ready the moment we're gone to start having sacrifices again. Used to, they needed red heifer. Now they've had a red heifer that was born in Israel. I mean, this is astonishing that that didn't happen 25 years ago. Didn't happen 50 years ago. That's happened right now. They're ready the moment we leave. You say, are we getting raptured tomorrow? No. I believe it's very soon. But you, how many signs do you have to get before you go, hey, we might actually be living in the last days? Can I, everybody, drive safely? All right, go with me over to Matthew. We've got a lot more signs real quick. I want to get into them before we go. I mean, I know this is a lot, but they're exact, they're precise, and you can't really deny it. I mean, there's so many more. One of them is a pretty cool one. Go to Matthew 24, and we'll get to this one, then we'll close. This is a good one before we get to Matthew 24, and then there's several good ones. I can't get them all in. Now, everybody ready for this? It's weird that the History Channel has more stuff about the coming of the Lord than most of the Christian networks. Bishop Malachy is a Catholic bishop in 1129 A.D. had a vision of every pope that was going to be on the earth all the way up to the tribulation. And the Lord gave that bishop the coat of arms that they would wear. Well, he saw 111 popes and gave the exact words for their coat of arms. This is 1129. And didn't miss it with any of them. And right now we have the 110th out of the 111 he saw. Now, batting 110 out of 110 is pretty good. he didn't miss it at all. So, I mean, that's pretty radical. And this is another one before we get to Matthew. This is so cool. It still freaks me out. You can Google this and go look at it yourself. I'm watching the Animal Planet channel, which I don't normally watch that. And an Israeli ornithologist was on there. The only reason I know what ornithologist is, my brother went to college for 8 years to study birds. Okay? My dad goes, what'd you learn in college? Learned how to play poker. But anyway, an ornithologist is a bird guy. You know, 8 years for poker. But anyway, you gotta go to college for 8 years to learn birds because there's so many birds. Well, this Israeli ornithologist is there. She says, listen, we don't understand it. The largest gathering of predatory birds ever in history in Israel right now. 172 species of predatory birds. Well, I'm going, what in the world? She goes, I don't understand that. I understand that because the moment after we're raptured is called the Ezekiel 38 war. And guess what happens then? God calls on the fowl of the air to come down and clean the land. He has all that flesh get cleaned up. The Battle of Armageddon, read it, Revelation. He calls on the fowl of the air to come down and clean the land up again. You've got the cleanup crew in Israel right now. Amazing. Now, just like with Noah, oh, I don't believe it. Well, when you got the cleanup crew showing up, somebody needs to go, something's up. Yeah. No, they got to eat something. You can only feed so many predatory birds. Now, I even thought that was extreme. I thought, well, 172 is too many. We took our daughter and future son-in-law to the San Diego Zoo. And go look at the different, how many species of hawks there are. Go look at how many different species of vultures there are. There was like 30 some odd different kinds of vultures. I'm like, what in the world? Eagles. Oh, all those predatory birds have been showing up in Israel. Google it. I Googled it the other night and saw it again. I'm like, holy cow. They're still showing up in record number. Why? Because these Ezekiel 38 war is being set up right now. Why is that a big deal? They call it the Arab Spring. What was the Arab Spring about? It wasn't about democracy. All those presidents that are so rich, I mean, Mubarak took out $700 million in one day. All those presidents are so rich, they really don't want to kill Israel anymore. So what God has had to do, pull all of those presidents out that don't want to kill Israel and get younger guys in that are Islamic Brotherhood, and they say, we want to kill Israel. And you can look at their website. You know what their website says? United to Destroy Israel. Pretty crazy. So think about it. Think about it. This is happening right now. Look at Matthew 24. I love the bird part. The bird part freaked me out. I'm like, I mean, I've been preaching on end times for years. I'm like, holy cow, this is crazy. Look at Matthew 24 real quick and we'll close. I've preached a little bit too long. Matthew 24. We'll close with this. I want you to come back tomorrow. Can you come back? We'll get into more. And we'll have a photo. Thanks, buddy. We'll have a photograph of the Antichrist tomorrow. I'm just kidding. No. And you see those guys preaching on TV? The most shocking photos of the Antichrist. I'm like, oh my God. Thank God he won't be revealed until we leave. You're so powerful, he can't come on the scene, Thessalonians says, until you depart. That you are withholding him. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So look what he says here in Matthew 24. He says in Matthew 24, real quick, verse 1. When Jesus went out and departed the temple, the disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto him, see not all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, shall not be thrown down. And that's exactly happened in 70 AD. They tore the rocks apart to get the gold out. Because the city burned, all the gold went in the cracks, and they broke the rocks apart, exactly what Jesus said. So here he says, as he sat on, verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? In the Greek, it means the end of the age. Because we know the world will never come to an end. After the millennium, the earth's going to get renovated by fire. And even scientists know that dark matter is just like fabric. The Bible says that the heavens will be folded like a garment. It's exactly like a garment. So watch what he says here. He doesn't rebuke them for wanting to know what time it is. He tells them. He says in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Many will come in my name saying I'm Christ and shall deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. About end times, number one, he said, don't be troubled. Don't be deceived. In Thessalonians, he said, I don't want you to have sorrow. Don't want you to be hopeless. He wants you happy. He wants you happy, joyful, and not deceived. So about the coming of the Lord, it should be the most exciting time in our lives that we're about to go from faith to sight. What a shock that's going to be to all of a sudden be caught up and go to the reward seat of Christ. Wow. But let's go a little further here real quick. What he says here, he says, it's really cool. He says in verse 6, you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation. That's a Hebrewism for one nation going to war with another nation. Starts a world war. Happened twice in the last century. I like verse, and he goes into pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. You could talk about earthquakes all night. Brian Williams on the NBC Nightly News last year, he said there were 400 earthquakes off the coast of Seattle in one day. There was about 7,000 the other day right down below Florida. I mean, now, okay, well, the technology is a lot better. Yes, it sure is. But let's just think for a minute. 6.0 on the Richter scale, still 6.0 on the Richter scale. Every decade from 1900 to 1960, two or three, vacillated between two and three. You get to this, after the Six-Day War, U.S. News and World Report. It goes like this, 1910, 1920, 1930, 1940, 1950, into the 60s, after the Six-Day War, it goes straight up like that. To the point, I've got a couple earthquake deals on my phone that it tells me every time there's an earthquake, my phone's vibrating all the time because there's major earthquakes happening all over the world. Oklahoma had four in one week during Thanksgiving. Yeah. And one was the largest they've ever had. I mean, states that have never had earthquakes. There are ones that had faults and had some small earthquakes. States that have never had earthquakes in our country are having earthquakes. I mean, it's the earth is getting ready for the King to be manifested. So watch what he says here. It's really cool. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrow. So you got a pen with you there? If you've got a pen, look at verse 9. Mark in your Bible verse 9. That's the beginning of the tribulation period. So watch what Jesus said. This still messes with my brain because they said, hey, what's the sign of your coming? And he talks about the trib. Now, why is that? Because there's going to be 7 years that are idiot proof that you can't really miss it. Now, see, I don't have to have the trib. I'm a Christian, so I would say the signs of his coming would be miracles. Okay, that's just me. But he said there's a 7 year period coming that you really can't miss it. Now, why is that? You're fishing and all of a sudden the water turns to blood. Not catching much. Hey, we're not catching very much today. Well, okay, there's a couple of asteroids that are going to hit during the tribulation. I'm preaching this in Russia and it's called wormwood. It'll spoil the waters because they're radioactive. You know what it's called in the Russian Bible? Wormwood is Chernobyl. You heard of Chernobyl, haven't you? Well, see, that's going to happen after we're gone. So God's going to have 7 years. You call it judgment. It's 7 years of so much activity happening that people won't be able to ride the fence. They'll either be for him or against him. It'll be like a foxhole mentality. Man, you got Tomahawk missiles flying at you. You make some changes in your heart. So this is interesting. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows is the word birth pains. How many of you ladies, when you went into contractions, did you think you'd play golf that day? You know, you start having some contractions. Hey, it's time to play soccer. No. I mean, when the contractions started coming, you started acting, didn't you? You said, you know, we need to get to the hospital. There's a church I preach in Dubuque, Iowa. The youth pastor, sweet family. Their last baby, their third child, he delivered the baby in the utility room. His wife said, it's time for me to have the baby. He said, okay, I'll get the suitcase, whatever. She said, it's time for me to have the baby. And they call the fire department. The fire department said, "Don't, no trouble, we'll be right there." They go in. They're on their way out the door through the utility room. She sits down and has the baby. The fire trucks come, you know, say, "Hey, we'll help you deliver the baby." Uh-uh, we done delivered the baby. Well, see, when you start having contractions, you don't go, "Ooh, I think I'll watch a movie." No, you get to the hospital. Jesus compared there'd be such intense things happening on the earth, it would be just like a woman going into labor. You can't ignore it. I mean, you think about Islam coming to the forefront. Islam attacked our country with two planes flying into... See, Islam's going to be judged during the tribulation. It's called the Whore of Babylon, false religious system. Guess where it came from? Baghdad. Every false religion came from that piece of real estate. Man, come back tomorrow and we'll talk a little bit why America had to go to Iraq twice. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So we are living in the last days. You say, how much time do we have left? I know that it's very soon he's coming back, so I'm going to let it change my life. If it's 1 year, 2 years, 7 years, 15 years, whatever it is, I'm going to live my life like he's coming very soon to get as much in eternally as I can. Because we're so caught up in doing natural things, let's do some eternal things. We want something that's going to last forever. Because your next appointment, he's going to reward you for what you've done eternal. You're going to get gold, silver, and precious stones. I don't want to go to the reward seat and there's a huge bonfire. I don't want a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. People go, what in the world was that? Brother Joseph, reward seat, God, woof! No, I want gold, silver, and precious stones. We'll get into a little bit about that tomorrow. So, we have a lot of signs. There's more signs. I'm just skipping over a lot. But the main one's inarguable. I'll give you some of the, you ready for the, I was told you I'd give you statistics? Okay, the 14 prophecies about Jesus' birth. You're born in a manger, riding into Jerusalem on a colt, piercing his side. It got dark that afternoon. For all 14 to come to pass, this is the odds. 1 in 480 billion times 500 trillion times another 480 billion. That's for just those 14. Now, I've given you some about just our generation. And you can multiply it for our... If you were a statistician, you were unsaved, and you hated God, you'd have to go, that's impossible. It's because God said, I'm going to give you enough signs to look at to go, wow, there's a God. I mean, this is blatantly obvious. Now, why is that a huge deal? Because it's a good preaching tool for you to go, hey, look what's happened in your lifetime. Israel made a nation. Jerusalem won back. Hebrew language restored. Ethiopian Jews brought back. Revival of the Roman Empire. All those things were prophesied about the time you live. Basically, tag, you're it. You're the generation that Jesus is coming back. One of the ones, Russia and China, the only two nations that didn't vote against Iran, those are going to come against Israel. We were preaching in Canada, and there was a Chinese lady there having a baby because they have to abort their female babies because there's so much population growth. So they won't have a male to have their last name go. I'm preaching on that. There's a woman there that's great with child, and she's from China. She had come there to Canada just to have her baby. Well, now why is that a huge deal? You've got a generation of guys from 15 to 25 don't have any girls to date. They're going to want to kill somebody. Am I in the right room? It just goes over everybody's head. But think about it. Think if you lived in China, there ain't no more girls left for you to marry because they've aborted all the girls. You're going to go, it's time to kill somebody. Because China comes down on Israel at the end of the tribulation period. All they know is war. And that's happened. That lady sitting right there after the service, they walked up and goes, you know, I had to come here to have my baby. Because I'm not allowed to in China. Wow. Bizarre. There's a bunch more signs. And, wow. We're living in the time that he's coming back. Just think of the technology, the two witnesses. Your iPhone, you can make coffee with your iPhone. Come on now. What other generation could actually see the two witnesses? Thank God we won't be here during the tribulation, but where the whole world could see them. You could have it right there on YouTube or Vimeo or whatever and see what's happening right there in Jerusalem. So we're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. You have found out who you are in Christ. You have found out the authority that you have in Christ. You found out that you have exactly what you say. You found out that you speak the word and the word comes to pass. So God's raised up a generation. Kenneth Hagin was born in 1917. And Allenby flew into Israel in 1917. You know what Kenneth Hagin's name means? The Lord appeared to his mother and told him to name him John. She didn't name him John, named him Kenneth. How cool is that? Name your son John. No, I don't think I will. I'll name him Kenneth. Anyway, guess what Hagin means in the Hebrew? One to go before to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. The Lord told his mother he wouldn't have... The Lord told his mother he'll have a part in getting people ready for the coming of the Lord. And we both went to that Bible school. Everywhere you go all over the earth, there's a Rhema graduate. Here that man's name was John Hagin. Wow. I mean, that's kind of like... Why don't we do this before we go? Let's just surrender our hearts for a moment. And let's comprehend how close we are. And let's let it change us. Lord, we've heard about some signs tonight. Thank you for, Father, blessing every person that came tonight. They came on Saturday night, Lord, so they're hungry. They love you. They mean business with you. I thank you for your blessings being made known to them in this year, 2012, being a year of manifested, visual, physical blessings of God. And Father, I thank you that we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened. We do know what the hope of our calling is. We do know what the riches are of the inheritance in the saints. And Father, we know what the exceeding greatness of your power is that's usward who believe. I thank you for manifesting your power and your glory through every person in this room. Father, may our walk all the way up to the rapture be a representation of your mercy, your kindness, your goodness, so that all could see what you're really like, Jesus. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. We make changes tonight. We make changes tonight to do the will of God. We surrender to do exactly what you want us to do. Father, we'll have a joy-filled time up until you return, and we'll exhort one another that Jesus is coming back again. Jesus is coming back again to the earth. Lord, we bless you, we honor you, we magnify you in this room. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. You know, it gets a little sobering when you think about it, but it is very cool that we're going to get to see him so soon. It makes you want to tell all your family. Makes you want to tell all your friends and relatives Jesus is coming. Before we dismiss, is there anybody that came, you've never given your life to the Lord? I mean, I know it's Saturday night. And I'm so glad you came tonight. I know it's a lot of information. And tomorrow I'll try to back up and not be so fast. But you may be here. Somebody may ask you to come. You want to know about what's going on. And I kind of skipped over a lot of the current world things to get into what the Bible says, because that's inarguable. But you may be here and don't know Jesus as your Savior. I mean, God's not mad at you. He loves you. Just the thought of him getting beat like he was. I would have come up with another plan. I would have said, this ain't working. You know, I'd have gone, do we really have to do it this way? But if you're here and you don't know him as your Savior, I want to pray with you real quick before we go. You may be here and you don't know him. If you've never asked him into your heart tonight, I want to pray with you. Say, that's me. Pray for me. I want to get saved tonight. If you're like that, raise your hand real high. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray with you. I will not embarrass you, but I will pray with you. Amen. Good to be saved. Good to be saved. Isn't it cool to know that nothing can separate you from his love? Amen. One more invitation. You may be saved. You've not been filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here and you've never spoken in tongues before. Jesus said you'll be endued with power, not weirdness. Power. I don't know how the devil tried to make that we were weird that we're filled with the Holy Ghost when he knows we need power. If you're here and you've never done that and you want to do it tonight, we'll pray for you. Just lift your hand up. Say, that's me. I'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We were in Sterling, Illinois. 43 people raised their hand to get filled. Hobbs, New Mexico, 27 people. There's a whole new influx of people coming in that aren't baptized. So if you haven't done it tonight, you don't have to tonight. But just whenever you want to, you need to get it. Get all the power you can get. Amen, amen. Now we'll come back tomorrow. We'll get into a little bit more signs. We'll get into the rapture of the church. We'll get into a little bit about Daniel's 70th week. And we'll have a good time. God will give us some more info to show us how close we are. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming tonight. And we'll see you tomorrow. Before we go, why don't we thank him one time before we dismiss. Lord, we love you and magnify you. We bless you and honor you. In this room, Jesus, receive the glory that's due your name. Be magnified and glorified in this room. Jesus, the songs we sang tonight, had every one of them had your name in it. Jesus, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Bright morning star, lily of the valley. We bless and honor you in this room. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for redeeming us, Jesus. We love you and honor you and bless you, Jesus. Thank you for blessing this congregation. Supernatural strength for them. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Have an awesome night. Thanks, Pastor Gary. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow if you can come back.
Good stuff. Joe didn't talk about anything back in their book and tape table, but they have got resources back there that